Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
One full hour of wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's bring on the host. Here is Mark Hoke.
Oh, yeah. Here I am. Here I am. Fade that music down a little bit. There we go. Yeah, there we go. Got to be able to hear me a little bit.
What?
What?
It's not here I am. It's here we are. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Well, got to get me rolling here first. Godfish, don't hurt me. We should have Joe DeFalco on here, too, I believe. Joe, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey.
Good morning, Joe.
I'll tell you, that 8 in the morning is killing me.
Yeah, tell me about it, my friend.
Well, we can't do noon on Sundays. There's things that go on. You know that. You know, like footy football.
Yeah, I got you. I understand. Understood.
Yeah, we got it. So, but good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Mark Hoke Show. I am your esteemed host, Mark Hoke. Thanks for being with us. Andrew the Fish Fane, what's up?
What is going on, my friends? And I just want to point out, Dominic is about to turn heel. I'm telling you, I called it 3 weeks ago.
Joe, he won't let it go. It's unbelievable.
Well, you know, he still feels, you know, that there's still animosity toward, you know, the whole situation with Eddie Guerrero.
He wanted Eddie to have custody.
Exactly. Oh. He's so mad that Ray got custody.
Oh, Lord. Lord. And, of course, we have, that is Joe DeFalco from Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas. Joe, how are you this morning?
A little tired, but recovered from a very long SummerSlam weekend. We were involved with like six shows, so.
Yeah, I wanted to give you a chance before we get into all the news. You know, tell us a little bit about what happened with SummerSlam weekend and everything happening with FSW.
Well, GCW was in town, so we had plans with them. So they did their own show, which, you know, sold out on Friday night. They ran late because CM Punk was showing up, so they pushed our Natural Born Killers event, which was scheduled to start at 11 till 11:30. So kind of, you know, influenced the crowd turnout because now people needed to get from one place to another. So it didn't do as well as we liked. We bounced back Saturday afternoon and we did a sold out show with GCW that was, you know, it was a rave on the internet, and that's what's most important. And then we did a women's show on Sunday where we crowned a new champion, and Sandra Moon won the title in a doors, ladders, and chairs match that got very physical and very bloody.
I got to stop you for a second here. A doors, ladders and chairs.
Not tables, but doors.
So.
No, yeah, doors are cheaper. And
oh, that's perfect.
So doors have become the new doors are the new table. You know what I mean? And if you saw the FSW GCW show, we had a couple of our mainstays who've been around since pretty much the very first show we ever did in 2009. Cutthroat Cody and Funny Bone, they wrestled the former GCW champion Nick Gage and AJ Gray, and it was by far the bloodiest event in FSW history, and for the first time, light tubes were introduced at the FSW arena. Outside in the alleyway, we didn't want to mess up our campus. So.
Cleanliness first, right? Well, that's amazing. Well, I'm glad you had a terrific weekend. It sounded like a blast.
Yeah, with no doubt about it. It's like, you know, something I don't want to do every week, but, you know, once or twice a year, it's fun. A lot of people were in town for SummerSlam. A lot of people come in town from out of state for GCW. So it was good to reach a different and newer fan base that may not have been aware of us. So I think we made some new fans along the way.
Awesome. And, of course, if you want to see what's going on with Future Stars of Wrestling, go to fswvegas.com and check it all out, because Joe's got some great stuff going down there in the FSW arena.
All right, well, now that you gave me the plug, I'm going back to sleep. See you later.
Wow.
Good night, Joe.
What a bailout. That's unreal. Well, let's get to some of the news of the week. I mean, just a lot of a lot happening.
A whole lot happening.
Oh, God. You know.
Oh, boy.
It's so hard to get through all of it now. It used to be, Raw sucked. SmackDown was okay. And
yeah, I want to start with this. Anymore. I think it's absolutely hilarious that they are trying to push Becky Lynch as a heel, and the more heelish she became on Friday night, the more she was cheered.
Amazing how that works, isn't it?
Yeah, because when she was doing stuff that was either straddling the line or close to her baby face, she was almost booed, and then she started saying, I don't care what anybody thinks, and as soon as she said that, the place erupted.
It's amazing. The WWE's ability to misread a room is getting to be legendary right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, first, I wanted to make sure we mentioned NXT TakeOver, because we didn't get to talk about that on the last show, because obviously the show was after we went on. A couple of the big things that happened. Of course, Samoa Joe beats Karrion Kross, wins the NXT title.
I mean, that had to. Once you saw Karrion Kross on the Raw roster, that had to happen. You can't have the NXT champion on Raw.
It had to happen because, NXT is getting younger, so they needed to put the belt on Joe.
Yeah. and they had to put that wonderful gladiator costume on Karrion Kross.
My goodness.
Joe, you guys trained Karrion Kross. Real quick about that outfit. What do you think?
I was kind of in stunned disbelief looking at it. At first, I thought it was kind of a joke. And it's like, I'm not really sure, you know, where they're going with that. You know, I always try to say, hey, give them a chance to tell the story, you know, kind of like the Jeff Hardy thing. Now that you look back on it, I think there was no rhyme or reason for why he lost to Jeff Hardy, just to lose to Jeff Hardy, because then he pummeled him, and then he's pummeled Ricochet, but then he split wins with Keith Lee, and it's, you know, the perfect scenario of WWE wanting to do 50-50 booking where nobody gets over. Well, instead of everybody getting over, it's like, you know, you're supposed to have a core guys. Those are the mainstays. But obviously, Ricochet ain't in that mix anymore, unfortunately. I think he's extremely talented, but for some reason, Paul Heyman must have been the only guy who liked him in creative for whatever reason.
When I heard the original storyline for Karrion Kross was supposed to be that he was going to keep losing, and then they were going to bring Scarlett back, and then he was going to win with Scarlett, and that was going to be sort of like Paul Bearer with the urn was going to be his Scarlett, and that just never happened.
Yeah, and that, now I'm reading and hearing that she hasn't been medically cleared for some reason.
Yeah, so we're waiting for Scarlett to get back. Kyle O'Reilly beats Adam Cole.
In 2 out of 3.
Two out of three falls match. Great match.
Oh, fantastic.
Of course, we don't know where Adam Cole is. We're going to talk about that as soon as we get through a couple of these things. The match of the night, once again, and if you didn't see the first one, well, the second one, yikes. Ilya Dragunov beats Walter to win the NXT UK title. A classic match, especially if you like hard-hitting wrestling. The first time around, this one, wow. So now we've got probably Walter heading our way, finally.
Yeah, I'm about to say, with Kaylee Ray now heading to NXT US because she challenged Raquel Gonzalez after she beat Dakota Kai. Yep. And now we're going to have Walter over here as well. I think it's just a nice influx of people that people here haven't had a chance to see unless you're watching NXT UK.
Yeah, Joe, did you get to watch that match?
I did not. We actually had a show with another company, No Peace Underground, that started at 6. But I'm really looking forward to Walter coming in and losing to Elias and then building.
Oh, Jesus. Could you imagine that?
Where are they going with Elias? That's what I want to know now.
I don't know. I don't think they know either.
They do, because they have these vignettes all set up, so they have an idea of what they want. Whether it's a good idea or a bad idea is yet to be seen.
Yeah.
But they have an idea of what they want. I just want to know what the idea is.
I don't know. I just want Walter and Roman Reigns.
What would be perfect is they do some vignettes of Elias and now Baron Corbin, and they sit homeless on the street playing music for money.
Like Baron Corbin picks up Elias' old guitar.
Oh, my God. This is just unbelievable. We got a good creative team here, probably better than WWE, that's for sure.
I should be running the show, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I think all three of us would be a pretty good writing team there. And then just real quick, you mentioned Raquel Gonzalez beating Dakota Kai. Cameron Grimes beats LA Knight for the $1 million championship, and then we had Ridge Holland.
Jeez, all the FSW alumni going down by the wayside. L.A. Knight, you know, when Zoe Stark and Isaiah Scott losing their belts, you know, it was a good bragging point for FSW.
Sorry, man. Didn't do it.
But, hey, Ric Flair didn't become 16-time champion without losing 16 times.
That is very true.
Only the WWE. Thank God she won again. And that way in 3 weeks she can lose the title again.
Oh, it's just like a...
I don't know. I think she's probably had the most less than 2 week title reigns than anybody in the history of wrestling.
those are brutal too.
But that was... I mean, Monday Night Raw as an entire show was absolutely brutal, but she was brilliant again on Monday night.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about Adam Cole. He has not signed a contract yet.
Yes, he has.
Well, I think he has. It has not been announced.
It's AEW. Is that what we're? Is that what you guys are saying?
I was going to say, it's probably just not in WWE.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. Of course, if you didn't see, you know, Dr. Britt Baker, who
is... I am really looking forward to seeing Adam Cole in NWA. It's going to be amazing.
You know, that would be fun, actually. I'd love to see him show up there and wrestle a little bit. I was going to talk about the 73rd anniversary show in a little bit.
But my question is, doesn't AEW now begin to have the problem that WWE had as far as a bloated roster? I mean, it's great they're bringing in all these people. They're bringing in CM Punk. They're bringing in Daniel Bryan. The rumor is they're bringing in Bray Wyatt. They're bringing in Adam Cole. But now all of a sudden, you're going to have too many people and not enough spots. So some people are going to have that already.
So they just put, you know... Well, they're going to add an 11th show. That way, everybody can get on.
But, I mean, at some point, you got to say, you know what? What we have going is great because we had a chance to showcase a lot of people. Now that showcase is going by the wayside, and we're basically becoming just a younger version of the WWE. Isn't that an issue?
See, one thing that I'll throw out on that is that AEW is doing a really good job on the show of bringing some of those younger talents onto the show and not repeating matches like WWE is. If you look just looked at Dynamite this week, all sorts of different people are getting their shots to at least come on the show and be a part of it. And I think that's something terrific that they're doing, and they're not killing these younger guys. They're losing, but at least they're giving them a nice showcase. They're being competitive for the most part, and I like what they're doing there. I really do.
Remember when Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss were supposed to be like the future of the company?
Yeah, I do remember that. I'm glad they changed their minds.
That was like, what, 9-10 years ago, right?
It feels like it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the issue. It's like, that's great. And, you can't deny bringing in the best talent. Obviously, the biggest free agent, Bo Dallas, that's the most important thing. Where is he going to turn the whole wrestling wars around?
My guess is he looks like an Impact guy to me.
God, team him up with Bray. God, that would be fun.
They should have done that.
They should have done it in WWE.
They should have made Bo Dallas one of the Fiend's disciples.
That would have been fun. But we'll see where that all ends up.
I thought that was the rumor at WrestleMania that he was in the outfit and it was going to be Bo Dallas. And then we never saw Bray Wyatt again. So I guess, that didn't happen, which is shocking. A WWE storyline that had no fruition at the end.
Boy, we're banging hard on WWE to start the show. Yikes.
They deserve it.
But then, we got Brock Lesnar back, so in 4 months from now, we'll get to see him again, and he really wants Roman Reigns.
Well, it's not even going to be 4 months. Unfortunately, it's going to be Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar in Saudi Arabia again. It's like we haven't seen that match 18 times.
Yeah, we'll talk about that booking with Brock Lesnar.
Well, it was, the $5 million pop. They had to probably pay him $5 million for 8 appearances, and one of them was showing up and hitting 2 moves and wearing his very attractive new man bun.
He is looking very mountainy. That's a South Dakota look.
Apparently,
right,
Gable Stevenson, is it?
Stevenson.
Apparently, Gable Stevenson gave him a lot of crap about it because he gave Gable Stevenson crap about his ponytail a few years ago.
Oh, see, you can't do that. Can't do that. If you're going to wear it, you can't bust on it. That's what
you can't. You can't bust on Brock Lesnar no matter what.
Well, that's true.
He'll kill you.
Yeah, he will kill you. But it is looking like Adam Cole's going to be headed to AEW. We had a little seance with the Young Bucks. after they had killed him in the Elite series on YouTube, they were trying to do a seance to bring him back.
I want Cole back in WWE. I mean, Vince McMahon has to be smart enough to realize that you can't lose all of the your names, the names that people love, whether they're not the big guys that you love, but these are guys that people come to see, the CM Punks, the Daniel Bryans, and now Adam Cole. If you lose every one of them to AEW, all of a sudden a company that you said is no competition becomes competition.
Yeah, well, the question is, does Vince care? Does he really? Because if he cared enough, that contract, that money would have been paid.
I think he does, but his ego gets in the way.
Yeah. So,
Yeah, you know, sometimes you feel, you know, you've been really the only game in town for the last 25, 30 years that your mindset is, oh, they're nothing. It doesn't matter. They're on TNT. Chris Jericho's old. Christian's old. Mark Henry's old. The Big Show's old. And it's like, you know, from what I understand, the reason why they made sure they got Lesnar was because Fox. Now there's the inner squabbles because Fox was mad, so they got Becky Lynch and Lesnar for SmackDown, and now Raw's mad because they feel the roster has been, you know, heavily gone towards SmackDown, which never happened because SmackDown was always the number two show.
SmackDown is now the number one show without question. And if you just watch the two shows, the creative on Raw is absolutely horrible. It is, and it is just, you could watch any week of Raw and you would have seen that same show 3 weeks prior.
Yeah, they have got to figure something out there. And I don't know if it's just that they need to dig up some new writers. You know, or Vince is just blocking things, or what's going on there? But Raw to me, I mean, if I'm looking at, I've got five shows that main shows that I would want to watch. I've got Raw, SmackDown, Dynamite, Rampage, NXT. Raw's probably fourth on my list right now. That
what's fifth?
NXT.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, why would you know? And USA Network just got to be going crazy right now. You know, they see Becky and Brock going over to SmackDown. And
they already have Roman Reigns over there, which is by far the best character work anyone's doing in WWE.
So your show's super loaded to that side. And then you're taking NXT and you're turning into developmental, which really, you know, is that must-see wrestling to watch? I don't think so. So, man, Joe, you're right. USA's getting the shaft here.
Yeah, they're kind of blowing up the TV product. It's like, you know, I can understand. It's like, you know, I know from what I've heard, the new class is going to include Bull Buchanan's son and
Zephyr,
who's Rikishi's son, that they're going to be starting and probably announced, because I know for a fact Zephyr was, you know, packing his stuff and heading out. You know, he still hasn't, you know, fully said that it was WWE, but everybody around him and us, we are pretty certain that's where he's going. But the thing is, you have a TV product that, again, it was the number three show that you're promoting, and it was losing to AEW, the monster that everybody loves, but by sometimes 50,000, sometimes 100,000 fans, when you're talking 800 to 750 to basically say, oh, you know, we lost the battle. It's like, well, AEW's goal is to compete against Raw and SmackDown. They should have been thumping NXT the whole time, but they weren't. But somehow Vince kind of gave up on the NXT product. And then, you know, fortunately, they have a great new logo that's probably going to help get new fans.
Jack, designed by Jackson Pollock.
Oh, the 64 color Crayola crayon box just puked on the NXT logo. Is what happened.
What I heard, it was they hired the guy that created the new UNLV logo a couple years ago that they used for like a week and got rid of it, paid him tons of money.
Oh boy, graphic designers, where are they when you need them? Hey, well, now I wanted to give the NWA a little love on the show this morning. The NWA is having their 73rd anniversary show today. They've been running stuff all weekend, but you know, this is going to be kind of a fun night for nostalgia. If you want to check out the NWA, and I'm sure Joe, you know a little bit about these guys. But Nick Aldis is wrestling Trevor Murdoch for the NWA title. Chris Adonis used to be Chris Masters. Is wrestling James Storm on there for the NWA national title. You got Aaron Stevens, who was Damian Sandow. He's part of the tag team champions. They've got a big match coming up. Tyrus is going to be there.
Funkasaurus.
Yep. Mickey James is wrestling Kylie Rae. Chelsea Green just won a tournament, so she gets a shot at the NWA women's title. Of course, she is Matt Cardona's girlfriend. And the Nature Boy is showing up at this card. It's for the 73rd.
Is he
going to
show up free like he did with the AAA?
Yeah, I guess. So this could be a fun night, you know, if you want to get a little nostalgia in and see, you know, some interesting matches. Joe, what do you think about where the NWA is right now?
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to their next show when Booker T wrestles Scott Steiner. So, you know, all those names that you mentioned are guys that, you know, again, I love my Chris Masters. I love Chris. He's a great dude. He looks still like $1 million. But a lot of the other ones, you know, they're wrestling the shirts and they've kind of, you know, their peak wasn't the biggest peak in wrestling. So they're easily the forgotten sons of these companies that are putting stuff together. I applaud the effort and stuff, but there's only so much out there that you can really pay attention to. And I just don't think Ric Flair, for what you're going to probably pay him, is not going to sell pay-per-views, and that's all they're relying on the NWA. They only have TV on the internet, and you know they had the women's show yesterday, and you know it was a packed house. Well, the packed house was 700 people. It wasn't like it was 7,000 people. You know, it's easy to say, yeah, we had a sellout FSW GCW. Well, there was 220 people there because that's all we could fit in our building, you know. So, you know, if NWA sold out the arenas AEW is doing, then I'd be more impressed. It's like they seem to have forgotten the younger talent, like a guy like Royce Isaacs. And they brought in some really good up-and-coming young guys, and now they kind of just like – push them aside for the Aaron Stevens, the James Storms, who, you know, haven't been really relevant for at least 5 years.
It's they're doing it based on the name recognition and not the ability or where the future will take them.
Well, there definitely is a market for it. Like, hey, like I said, I wasn't joking. I guarantee if I ran a show and called it, you know, Legend Fest, and brought in Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Million Dollar Man and all those guys, I'd be able to sell a lot of tickets. Now, would I be able to sell a lot of tickets consistently? Probably not. You know, maybe if I went to different cities, but I couldn't withstand that in Vegas. So, you know, it's all about developing the new talent. And if you don't develop it, then you're kind of lost. And, you know, AEW has done that. But again, they have 100 guys, and now 12 of them are stars that they created, like, you know, shockingly enough, the Jurassic Express. You know, obviously Jungle Boy is great, and Luchasaurus is a character that you never believed anybody would care about in 2021. He's a dinosaur man, you know, lizard man.
Yep. All right, well, we're going to be headed to break here, so we'll get the music playing and get ready to go to commercials and come back shortly here on the Mark Hoke Show on KDWN, 101.5 FM, 720 AM on your radio dial. The best in professional wrestling, Andrew Fishbane, Joe DeFalco, and lovable little old me, Mark Hoke. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Stick around. More from the Mark Hoke Show.
This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Here again, your host, Mark Hoke.
Happy Sunday morning. I had to get a yell in. I had a bad day yesterday, so I gotta kind of pep it up a little bit. So wake up, Las Vegas. Mark Hoke Show here. The best in professional wrestling, 101.5 FM, 720 AM on your dials. KDWN around the world. And by the way, I want to thank everybody for hitting up the podcast. Of course, if you want to listen to the show, MarkHokeShow.podbean.com. Of course, we are also available, well, yeah, pretty much everywhere. I mean, that's let me get my list because Fish was asking me questions, and of course, I wiped out the screen that I had. There we go. We are now available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and Listen Notes. Pandora's the only stubborn one. They haven't processed everything yet.
Not too shabby.
Yeah, so we're everywhere. And we've been listened to a few different countries already, so that's pretty exciting.
Thanks Walters to, fans are,
yeah, know. Thanks thanks to our Walters fans in Germany. We appreciate that.
And the rest
that.
Of Imperium.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So thank you for giving us some downloads. If you want to follow the show on Twitter, at Mark Hoke Show, and Facebook, The Mark Hoke Show. We certainly appreciate it. I want to get into All Out. All Out is coming up here in a few weeks. This card is really starting to stack up to be a lot of fun. I'm normally not one that likes to really buy a pay-per-view, but man, this is looking good, Fish.
I must just want to do it just to see CM Punk Darby Allin.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun match. And as soon as I find my screen where I had All Out, the card up here, I'll be able to tell you what it is.
Yeah, and you can bet on it right now as we speak.
Do they have betting odds up for that?
Yeah, I already saw on my bet online. CM Punk is minus $5. There's also a line on the Pac match. Who I forgot who he's wrestling, but he's
Andrade.
What's that?
Andrade Idolo.
Ooh, that's a nice
yeah,
match.
Pac's plus 160 if you want to go with the dog.
I like Neville. Sorry, Pac.
Yes. Yeah, so, there's a few of the matches up. Not all of them, but I think I saw like three, you know, as I was, you know.
Is Moxley in this pay-per-view?
Yeah, let me break it down for you now that I stalled and you guys covered me. I appreciate that. We've got the 21-woman casino battle royale match, which is obviously a ton of the ladies. Kenny Omega against Christian Cage for the AEW title. Pac against Andrade El Idolo with Chavo Guerrero Jr. in the corner. Paul White and QT Marshall. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to
burner that one.
I'm looking forward to that paint.
Well, you know, I just saw an interview with Paul White saying that it's the best he's felt in years because he now has a titanium hip. So,
yeah, good for him.
So see, hopefully he'll be able to move a little better.
Yeah, well, that's going to be, I think, it's just going to be fun to see him in the ring.
He said he's down to 407. I'm like, down to?
I'm trying to chase him down the way I'm going lately. Good Lord. The Young Bucks will be facing a little bit of surprise to me. The Lucha Brothers will be getting that steel cage match. They won the tag team eliminator, and they look good.
They beat the Jungle
Express. They did.
Jungle Express.
The Lucha Brothers.
They were the best tag team in wrestling until they showed up in AEW. So,
better than FTR?
I think so. That I think at that point when they came in, you know, they had a lot of hype, FTR, but Lucha Brothers, you know, were making the scene. Everybody wanted to see them. You know, it was the first time like people in Impact got really, really noticed between them and LAX at the time. They had a great feud. I remember seeing them at Samstown and Phoenix wrestled Santana at one of the matches. And, you know, I always thought of LAX as this brawling team because they were wrestling the other LAX and never really had the, and it was like Phoenix and Santana on, you know, a 3-day taping of, you know, 30 matches was by far the best match on the show. And before you quickly get back to AEW, Impact will be in town for Bound for Glory, October 23rd. They're doing tapings after that. And then I just found out they'll be back at Samstown November 19th for 3 days of taping.
Awesome. So.
And FTR, from what I gather, is the first tag team or first group of people I've heard who's actually speak out about AEW saying that they may not want to re-sign there and they're getting tired of what's going on. So
again, there's only so much time. And it's like, yeah, that's great. They're on all these other shows. But everybody wants to be on the main show, and you can't put 9 tag teams on the main shows.
No, you can't. You got to really keep that to like a tight group of 6 and keep it there. But then we've got CM Punk against Darby Allin with Sting in the corner. Isn't that, you know, that's kind of crazy to think about that CM Punk and Sting are going to be sharing the time on a match.
Yeah, I heard Kevin Nash is going to end up accompanying CM Punk.
Man.
And Scott Hall is going to be there, too.
Man, Joe just gets out the shovel every chance he gets. It's unbelievable. Chris Jericho against MJF again. But the, of course, if Jericho loses.
They're doing the same rebooking, sort of like WWE.
Can MJF finally win? It's like, are we going to push the loudmouth 26, 27-year-old that should be the future of the company?
I love the T-shirt he had on. He had the MJF 3, let's see, Jericho 0 T-shirt on for that match, for the Chris Jericho interview when he said he's going to retire from in-ring competition in AEW.
Actually, I want to bet MJF. I'm going to see if there's a line on him.
Yeah, let me know on that one. We've got Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, against Chris Statlander for the women's title. John Moxley taking on Japanese legend Satoshi Kojima. Mox just loves wrestling the Japanese guys. It's just cool. And that's what Daniel Bryan wants to do, too, when he gets in. Bryan Danielson, whatever name he'll be going under. And this one's going to be fun. I am excited about this last
Ray
match
Wyatt.
Listed. No, we've got Miro defending the TNT title against Eddie Kingston. That's going to be a hard-hitting match right there. I'm excited about that one.
Might be a title change there. They're trying to give a lot of love to Eddie. It's like, you know, that could be, you know, that could be a big win for him.
I hope so, because I really like Eddie Kingston. And from what we've been seeing and hearing, he is really turning into a leader in that locker room back there. And, you know, you've seen some of the speeches he's made to everybody and just how passionate the guy is. And I think he's really thankful to have this opportunity, you know, to be showcasing his talents on national TV. That
Cody Rhodes not wrestling in?
Not yet. They do not have that on the card. Aleister Black just beat up Arn Anderson's son, Brock, though.
Tommy End?
Yes, Tommy End. That is correct. I should say, I'm sorry, did I?
You called him Aleister Black.
I did call him Aleister Black.
I don't even know what is his name.
Malachi
now.
Black.
Malachi Black,
me.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Still getting out of that habit. But yeah, you got to wonder when that's going to show up. But that is a loaded card, guys. I mean, I think it's going to get a few buys, just a couple. What do you think?
I mean, CM Punk alone is worth the buys. The wrestling is going to be great, but CM Punk is going to draw the crowd.
Joe, what are your thoughts on All Out coming up?
Well, from what I understand, I believe they're already sold out anyway, aren't they?
The arena has been sold out. Yeah.
Again, no shock there.
Yeah, that's a done deal. So nobody else is getting in.
Who's going to make an appearance there that is not listed is the question.
Daniel, I'm going to say Bryan Danielson is supposed to be. They're pushing his debut up. Apparently, there were some issues. They were worried. They were going to have a debut at that show at Arthur Ashe Stadium, but apparently, they're saying that because of some COVID restrictions and stuff like that, they didn't want to take a chance, and so they're probably going to have him show up at All Out. So just
well,
fun.
I heard the big news was Curtis Axel was going to be
coming back as Michael McGillicuddy.
Stop it. Both of you just stop it. You're bad, very bad people. But
although I did hear Buddy Murphy is going to be signing with Impact, which I think is a great signing for them because I love Buddy Murphy.
There you go. That'd be good for him.
Yeah, Impact secretly kind of like under the radar seems to, you know, keep getting talent, and I guess they keep getting money from wherever they're getting it. You know, I know when they come to Sam's Town, they spend a pretty penny, and they're not really worried about it. You know, I remember when we were talking, you know, we helped set up and do a lot of stuff with them. And it's like they rent those video walls for like $15K for like 3 days. It's like, wow.
Jeez. Man, that's exactly. You know, a couple thousand and I'll get a slide projector.
I need to open a video wall rentals company.
There you go. Yeah, we got to, you know, and we'll have to feature Impact a little bit more on the show because I will say they are doing a much better job and getting a lot more attention. So. Well, maybe next week we'll.
How long?
But
how long is
Impact.
That crossover between AEW and Impact going to keep happening? Because now Christian Cage, obviously the Impact champion, so they got to keep it going for a little bit longer.
I would think if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's
well,
what I say.
Well, hopefully, I'll talk to my guy D'Lo Brown, and maybe we can get an Impact guest when we're ready for them to come to Vegas.
That would be awesome.
That would be fantastic. Love me some D'Lo, though. He was one of my favorite Nation of Domination members.
Yeah. There you go. That is pretty cool. Let's real fast, let's talk about Raw and SmackDown. I know you got to see them both, Fish. Your thoughts on both shows?
Like I said, it is just depressing how the mighty have fallen. I mean, SmackDown is by far the A show. You can see that's the one that they're putting their time and effort into, and how bad Raw really has become. It's like I said, and I know there's competition out there and everything, but how sad it is that Raw is this bad. It's almost unwatchable.
You could be right, and you know some. And they're just, you know, you had that Logan Paul segment, you know, which...
Yeah,
you know,
Logan Paul comes out and got booed like Roman Reigns in Philadelphia when he won the Royal Rumble. It was that bad. And, I mean, The Miz, who is supposed to be a heel, starts running down Logan Paul, and the fans are cheering The Miz for running down Logan Paul. I think they had to end the segment early. I think that Logan Paul wasn't supposed to leave as early as he did, but there was just no way he could stay in the ring because he was just getting hammered.
Did anybody believe that guy would get cheered?
I think that WWE sees the following he has on YouTube and thought that, hey, he's got to have some fans out there. So they bring him in, and it would bring people to watch, and nobody cared. They all just booed him mercilessly.
Yeah.
I mean, like he couldn't even speak. He tried to talk, and they were just booing him way too loud.
Is that a bad thing? It's like they reacted. You know,
true.
It's better than watching another Miz and Morrison segment.
Yeah, see, and that's therein lies my point about Raw. It was just, like I said, unwatchable. I mean, I don't need to see Drew McIntyre fighting again against Lashley and
yeah,
Sheamus.
You know, Drew's one of my favorites, and it's just like, it's just a holding pattern, and that's there. But you got to love RK-Bro.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. But you've killed Drew McIntyre by not letting him face Lashley now, by having that stipulation from their match a few months ago. So now there's nothing you can do with Drew. I do love RK-Bro. I think Riddle is doing some of the best work I've seen in a long time. But you know, you can only spray perfume over dog do so much before the stink still rises.
Yeah, you know, and one thing about RK-Bro at SummerSlam, you know, I mentioned that last week. People love those guys. People love that team, and I've never seen
Randy Orton get cheered like this.
And Randy actually looks like he's having fun.
He's enjoying it. He's absolutely enjoying it.
You see the whole AEW team looks like they're having fun. Don't see as much on WWE, but Randy looks like he's really enjoying this.
Watching him smack almost with a scooter was just wonderful to watch.
See, what I don't understand was why did they even need to try to do the swerve with Orton laying out Riddle just to put him back together the next week? It's like, were they trying to slow down the momentum of what they were doing? Like, was that even necessary?
And that's just it. I think sometimes WWE does things just to do things. And it's like, guys, there's no need to do that. You're absolutely right. I think the big problem was that Randy Orton, and I still don't know why he was off TV for the 3 or 4 weeks that he was off. But that's what slowed down that momentum, is that he was just all of a sudden, he wasn't there.
My opinion on what you just said is, I think that they are, because they feel they're sports entertainment, and I think that they live in a social media viral moment world, and they try to do things that they're thinking, can we make a 2-minute clip that we can put up on YouTube that everybody's going to go watch? As opposed to,
well, that's why they had Becky win in 29 seconds.
And yeah, and you know, and I think they put themselves in a corner with this whole thing with Becky and with Brock, because now, yeah, okay, everybody, you know, we had talked about they had to make a splash at SummerSlam. Well, they did, but now where do you go? You've got Brock Lesnar now lurking in the background, and any challenger to the Universal title at this point, he's going to care because they know Brock's sitting back there somewhere.
Right, Reigns is not going to lose the title to anybody he's going to feud with over the next 3 pay-per-view shows. So why would I buy a pay-per-view knowing that it's set up for Reigns and Lesnar, and the problem is Lesnar's not going to be around? Like, so everything happened at SummerSlam, you know, in the real wrestling world, you know, Lesnar would be there on Friday night, and Heyman would have the dilemma of, you know, what side is he on? And it's like they're running this whole storyline without the main guy being there.
That was the best part of SmackDown, was the whole Paul Heyman dilemma. It was absolutely hilarious, and Heyman sells it better than anybody, and I absolutely love that. But that's why they have Finn Balor squaring off against Roman Reigns for the title this coming Friday. It's not on a pay-per-view. It's Friday night now because it's free, and they can get away with having Reigns beat him because it's free.
Yeah, and
but didn't they do that like a month ago?
Yeah.
Well, now Paul Heyman is now the star of SmackDown. Let's just admit it. Paul Heyman is now the star of SmackDown.
I mean, there may not be a better mic worker than Paul Heyman, period. Yep.
Well, speaking of mic work, you guys know what time it is? Do you know what time it is?
Oh, good Lord. Here we go again.
It's time for the snap.
Because we like to make our guests squirm and suffer, let's put them through the toughest grind in professional wrestling. Get ready, everyone. It's time for the snap call.
Take that music down just a little bit. There we go. And here's how it works, guys. You know this. I'll ask you some questions and give you a few answers. Pick the best one. Snap it off. Right, Joe? Snap it off. Quick answers.
Snap it off.
All right. Here we go. And let's just start with the Paul Heyman question. When it's all said and done, who should Paul Heyman end up advising? Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, or CM Punk? Fish.
Roman Reigns.
Joe.
Roman Reigns. That way he gets to be on TV every week instead of every 4 months.
Exactly.
Good point. There you go. Thing that Adam Cole should try and get out of Vince McMahon before he actually turns down a new WWE contract. Got a few demands. Limo and private jet treatment plus private catering served personally by the McMahon family. Post-match foot rubs by anyone of his choosing on the roster. Or changing the name of SmackDown to Cold Down, Fish.
Changing it to Cold Down, baby.
Joe?
I'll go with the first one.
That would be awesome. Could you
imagine? Might as well get the perks.
Yeah, I'd love to see Linda serving him. That'd be worth it. That'd be worth it in spades right there.
Best WWE guitar player. Rick Boogs, Elias, Jeff Jarrett, or the Honky Tonk Man, Fish?
Rick Boogs.
Joe?
Yeah, I'll go with him. I was like, who is this guy at SummerSlam? And then I saw him wrestle the other night, and I'm like, I like this guy.
That was the best line of SmackDown, as Kevin Owens goes, hey, you know Rick Boogs is good. He can make a denim singlet look good.
Wow. I didn't get to see it yet. Now you're getting me excited to watch it. Ric Flair is making an appearance at the NWA 73rd anniversary show, as we mentioned. What should happen with Rick on the show? Flair shows up with a few friends like Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, Barry Windham, J.J. Dillon, Andrade, and a tall, masked blonde woman named the Midnight Riderette. An impromptu match with NWA champ Nick Aldis, or Rick in the butterfly robe leading a woo train with girls, 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 and more girls. Fish.
I'd like to see the one with girls, 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 and more girls, but I would imagine the match with Nick Aldis would be more fun.
Could you imagine that?
He'll win, too.
Oh, good Lord.
And 17-time champion, just so Cena can't break the record.
Oh, that'd be hilarious, Joe.
I'd go with the friends, but I want to see the Horsemen reunite with Kendall Windham and Paul Roma.
Paul Roma, the greatest, with Mongo McMichael, the greatest four horsemen of all time.
Wow. You just broke some radios out there. That's horrible. Which team that... Now, this is an interesting question. Which team that didn't win the AEW Tag Team Eliminator will end up having the biggest breakout singles star eventually in AEW? Jurassic Express, and you got Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. The Varsity Blondes, Brian Pillman Jr. and Griff Garrison. Or Private Party with Isaiah Cassidy and Mark Quinn. So who out of that group?
Brian Pillman Jr.
So you're going to take Varsity Blondes.
Absolutely.
Joe?
Just because he blew me off a second time when he was supposed to be booked, Brian Pillman, I'm going to go with Jungle Boy.
There you go. I think it's going to be Jungle Boy, but Pillman's probably going to be up there too. But Isaiah Cassidy, pretty solid wrestler there as well. Next big AEW signing. This is the last question. Next big AEW signing, because they're getting everybody. Justin Timberlake, Donald Trump, or Jesus Christ? Joe?
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. There you go.
I think they're going to go for Jesus, but he's going to ask for too much money, so they'll go with Trump.
There you go. There's your snap call, everybody. Guys, you made it through. Nice job.
Thank you.
Oh, wait. You know what? I got to ask this one more question. I apologize. I lied. I got to get this one more in because this involved all of us. I'm so screwed up. My bad.
Will Dominic Mysterio turn heel on
Will
Ray?
Will you shut up? God. I'm going to make you wear the next outfit that he has.
Please don't.
That's right. What would Bianca Belair have enjoyed more in the ring at SummerSlam than getting squashed by Becky Lynch? A match with Joe DeFalco, singing a Billy Joel song with Mark, or a cheesecake eating contest with Fish? Fish.
Cheesecake eating contest with me.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
Joe, what do you think?
Oh, I agree 100% on that one.
Don't want to wrestle Bianca?
Nah, I'll pass. You know, I beat her in 14 seconds, so what would be the...
There you go, yeah, because that would be the way the WWE writers would make it. I will say, and I said this last week, and the one thing I am sick of, I understand everyone's upset about that, but don't make it a racial thing. I think it has nothing to do with race, and everyone's saying it's because she was a black woman they're doing. It's like, stop. Just stop. It is not a racial thing. It's just idiot writers on WWE's behalf. Yeah. Got nothing to do with race.
Yeah, there you go.
You mean Vince McMahon? I don't think four guys were sitting in an office and said, hey, I got this great idea. Let's have our champ lose in 25 seconds. I think Vince McMahon said, hey, we need this girl to lose in 25 seconds.
Well, apparently he said it because he wanted a big shock moment at SummerSlam, and that was the big shock moment.
There's that viral thing again. Something that's going to catch attention and be viral.
Yep.
That does no good long term. Now that is the end of your snap call, by the way. But I did want to bring that up real quick about Sasha Banks, because I've been trying to find out what happened with Sasha.
It wasn't medical, because from what I gather, it's got to be COVID. I mean, that's medical. COVID is the only thing I could think of that it could be.
Now, here's the only thing that I found. And I'm trying to find it in my notes here.
Hanging out with Snoop.
Windows open. There was a report, and I'm trying to find where that was, but that basically said that she had violated COVID protocols, that she had gone out to dinner or something like that and violated COVID protocols. So WWE had to pull her off the show. Here it is.
But they knew it a week before, so it wasn't the day of the show.
And I think that it was along the lines of, you know, like I said, she did something she wasn't supposed to do. Wasn't necessarily sick, but they yanked her for it.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't the day of the show, because the SmackDown, which was the go-home SmackDown she was supposed to be on and wasn't. That was when it was Carmella and Zelina Vega, who they're burying also. So I don't know. It's just typical WWE. Whatever it is, it's typical.
Yeah, Joe, have you heard anything about that?
No, but, you know, they're in Vegas. What do you mean she's not allowed to go out to dinner? Like, nobody wears masks, you know, in most cases.
No, apparently.
It was outdoors, and it's like, but if you're vaccinated, why should it even be an issue? Who knows anymore? You know, now it's easy. Everything is like, oh, they can't tell you what it is. And everybody's under the assumption it's COVID, but nobody really knows because nobody wants to give out that information. So now people that are getting punished, at least in the past, we'd kind of really find out the real reason in a couple of weeks. But now with COVID going on, you really got to, you know, stream through and try to get the dirt. I'll ask Daivari.
There you go. Yeah, so...
Well, big poof for Mansoor, at least, though.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. But, you know, so we'll see where... Of course, everybody speculated about what happened to Keith Lee and was completely wrong, so...
Well, it was Mia Yim's fault.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that situation was unreal. So we'll find out about what's going on with that. So, Joe, real quick, I wanted to ask you, fast, your impressions of SummerSlam. We've only got about maybe 2 minutes left-ish here. So what did you think of SummerSlam? Because we didn't get to talk to you last week.
Yeah, it's just another show. You know, there had to be a lot of people in there. They announced Money in the Bank next year, and it's like that place couldn't sell out T-Mobile. How are they going to be at the Allegiant Stadium? What do they plan on doing to make people care about a pay-per-view that nobody cared about? Like, they're the opposite. The WWE has done a good job making their major pay-per-views not a big deal anymore.
That is a good point.
It's like everything is just the same, and it's like, okay, hey, there's Brock Lesnar. Well, that's great. and and Becky Lynch is back, and it's just like, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. I being a long life, wrestling fan and stuff, it's just like they've taken the enjoyment out of wrestling because it's sports entertainment. And it just becomes more difficult to watch. And I guess, I'm 56, so they're probably not geared toward me anyway. But I can't see how a millennial who has no attention span can watch that for 5 minutes.
I could not agree with you more. You are 100% spot on, and it breaks my heart because I'm 52 and growing up watching it and used to be looking forward to the pay-per-views, and then even when they had started having them once a month, looking forward to one of the big four pay-per-views and have them make it seem like nothing is just, it just breaks my heart.
All right. So we are getting ready to wrap this up. We'll get our outro playing here soon, but hey, there we go. All right. So make sure you follow The Fish on Twitter at TheFish1969. And Joe, we got to make sure we get him followed as well on Twitter. That is FSW Vegas, I'm correct, right, Joe?
Yeah, pretty
okay.
sure.
Okay, all right. And follow us on the show here at Mark Hoke Show, the Facebook, The Mark Hoke Show, and go to the website, markhokeshow.com. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time on The Mark Hoke Show on KDWN. Thanks for joining us.